Welcome to Bird Camp Wonderland radio show. Oh, it's a bit of a night, guys. Not only was it a piss poor performance, but we're having technical difficulties as well. We're all over the shop, but look what I've managed to salvage off the Barbary coast. It's Chris Carpenter.
How are you, Chris? Hello, Jase. I'm all right. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, pal. Not too bad. As you already know, you know, we're not at our slickest tonight.
No.
You doing well?
I'm all right, mate. I've pulled a little muscle in my lower right back, so I'm a little bit sore, but I'm all right. I'm grinning through it.
You know what they say, Chris? Boo hoo! I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Good man. Good to have you back, pal. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
And alongside Chris tonight, here he is. He's Danny the German Flower Pot. How are you, fella?
Well, I'm trying out this thing for once because I'm sick of those fucking headphones. We have bought probably over 20 sets of them, 25 quid a go, and they keep fucking breaking. So I think this might be the future. It was a tenner, and you use your own earbuds.
Nice. So
hopefully, I sound all right, people. Let me know if I sound okay.
Well, who cares? You know, we're having one of those nights, aren't we?
You are. I'm perfectly all right. I've got to go and cook dinner later.
Can we just say straight away thanks to Javier, who's just put in the chat, thumbs up done, back to work, listen to the pod tomorrow. Thanks, lads. He's literally just come in to give us a thumbs up and then gone again. So thanks, Javier. There is your shout out, sir.
Javier, you rock star. Dave Faber's in the box. I can see it now. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, he was the first one there. Our very own Mr. Hollick.
He's a quality piece of work, isn't he?
Should we have a guess at what he's drinking? I'd say he's on a spirit-based tipple this time of night, so he's not weeing all night.
Guinness. No.
Dave right now will be on a single malt.
Good shout, actually, yeah.
Dave, the reason I sound like I'm at the bottom of Swansea Bay is I'm doing this off my phone. I have my PC running, I have my laptop, which I haven't used in ages, trying to go, and nothing's working. In any case, enough of our woes. Let's get on with it. Dan, I'm going to come to you first. The lineups. We had a really strong selection, I thought, for the game. Ospina, Chambers, Mertesacker, Holding. Nelson, Elneny, Wilshere, Maitland-Niles, Walcott, Alexis, and Giroud. What do you think of the selection for the game?
Well, looking at it, you think straight away there's some players there that are playing for fitness, like Jack Wilshere and Mr. Sanchez, because they've been away and been injured. It's nice to see Jack back. Giroud hasn't been playing much because he's now a sub player, and Walcott has been playing almost no minutes this season. So that's why those two were playing. Reece Nelson on the playing right wing back. I'm not sure if that was a good idea. Some people were saying on Twitter they'd rather have seen someone like De Boeche come in and play right wing back and see Reece Nelson playing where Walcott was. But when you're paying Walcott £100,000 a week, you can't say to him you're not even playing in a League Cup game against a team which was in the fourth tier of English football this time last season. Elneny, well, we haven't got really anyone else we can play in there, can we? Could maybe have put Santi Cazorla on a stretcher and carried him around, because he probably would have done better than Elneny, but I haven't got anything down on Elneny or the entire game. Mertesacker, well, he asked, is he club captain still, or has it been given to Koscielny?
No, Mertesacker's club captain as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware, sorry.
Big Bob Holding had to play because it was his birthday today. He's 22. And Ospina, well, you know, who else? I mean, I thought maybe against a team that low down, we could have played Matt Macy, give him a game. But it's obviously in Ospina's contract or some verbal agreement with Wenger that he plays all the cup games, which is going to be fun. Don't have to reach for much. He'll be fine. But yeah, I was okay with the lineup, but I did expect a lot more from having that front three. But you could see coming towards maybe about just over the hour, 70 minutes, Wilshere was really starting to slow down. Giroud was a bit battered and bruised from all the scorpion kicks he kept trying to attempt him. I reckon at one point, Sanchez
Bear me. Sorry. Right. Green Sloth 10. Go fuck yourself. Get out of our fucking chat show, you fucking cunt. Okay? Do not bring your shit into this thing.
All right, Jace, I've blocked him. He's gone.
Cheeky bastard. Sorry, guys. I do apologise. I'm not.
They love it, Jace. They love it.
I'm not put up with any fucking rednecks in this chat box.
Oh, my fucking cat has just puked on my fucking duvet. Bear with me. bear with me.
Hold on, I'm going to click on this so we can all see, even though Chris isn't talking.
I'll be right back. Hang on.
Oh, people listening on iTunes, you're missing Chris possibly picking up cat sick, because I used to have a cat called Moogie, and whenever she was sick, she'd go around in circles because she was trying to get away from the sick, and she'd make a perfect circle.
God, I tell you what, okay, I'm not being funny. What a disaster! I love it. I absolutely love this thing.
You want to just see it?
No.
Look. Massive hairball.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Look at that.
That looks like your
yum.
Facial hair.
Ah, you could, bastard. You could, right.
Someone wants to win that, Chris.
Right on my fucking duvet. Bastard. Little shit. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, right.
That's a podcast first. We've done 351 shows. First time we've done a cat puke.
An ABW cat show.
I don't mind get that idea because Sean's not back till tomorrow and I can't reach the floor. Unless they peek.
You know what? So to recap, listeners or viewers or whatever, we've had a redneck in the chat box. We've had Chris's cat puke everywhere. I'm currently doing this off a phone. It's an absolute disaster.
Some would say more entertaining than the game was this evening, this show.
Actually, there are people on Twitter that would much rather have seen your cat being sick than watching that tonight.
Oh, he was doing that proper, you know, that heaving shit where they get the shoulders in and that. Oh, yeah. Proper,
big and deep.
Right, you pair, stop.
Sorry.
Stop.
Oh, the drawer's been done.
I don't care.
Oh, we care.
Right. Chris
has the draw.
Straight off the bat, let's go to Ollie's effort on goal.
Yeah. Good, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. He does that well. It's weird because for a guy of that size and a guy of that kind of stature, you don't really expect it from him, but he does it time and time again with the scorpion kick last season, we remember, at Palace, at home to Palace. And he has. He does like. I vaguely remember he sort of scored a very similar scissor goal once upon a time. I can't remember who it was against, but I do remember him being side on as he finished a goal once upon a time. But yeah, he's very technically good, is Ollie G. And I thought the pass over, I think was it Jack who clipped it into his path as well, as a decent pass. And that was quite early on as well. I think that probably would have set the tone if we'd have scored early, and probably would have sort of given us more opportunities to break them down earlier. But no, he's a class apart, Ollie Giroud. I won't have a bad word said about him. These are the sort of games that he'll be looking to get, as well as the starts that he will get eventually in the league season as players tire. But no, he's quality, and it's a shame it didn't just drop below the bar because the keeper was just nowhere near it. Beautiful technique as well.
Yeah, he showed his quality there, didn't he? It's a shame. He didn't finish it off. But Dan, we kind of went on from there. We seemed a bit disjointed. You had Alexis taking the ball off Ollie's foot at one point. We didn't seem to have much shape going forward. You know, we didn't hold our shape at all. Everybody was everywhere. How did you feel sort of the first half progressed from there?
I think it was looking promising for the first 20 minutes. It looked like Theo Walcott was really determined to do something that he's never done before and have a really decent 90 minutes. He had a couple of decent runs. He was hacked down a few times. I mean, I was wondering was if Kolasinac is probably watching this somewhere. And the way Theo went down, Kolasinac is probably looking at it thinking, what the fuck are you doing? They could shoot me and I'd still carry on. But the second or third time that Theo went down, he did get a free kick on the edge of the box. He also took a corner. That might have been in the first half. It hit one of their players and come back out. I thought, well, that's Theo should never take corners again. But I suppose it was all right, because you're going to struggle to get too much delivery against a team where they are playing a flat back nine, which is what they were coming up against at times. And you had Sanchez dithering around the edge of the box, trying to put the ball through to people. And you had the same with Giroud. Every time he tried something, he was getting pulled down or pushed. A couple of times Giroud went over and we thought it might have been a penalty. I think there was at least two of those. So, I mean, Doncaster had come there to do what they were. The only thing they really could do, they were never going to outplay us. They weren't going to outlast us. They did well to put up with I think we had 20, according to the BBC, 27 shots on goal. 8 were on target. We had 10 corners, 57% possession. So, yeah, I didn't really expect much else from this because who was it? Their manager is Darren Ferguson, who was manager of my local team, Peterborough United. I've seen him manage there many, many times. And he is usually he's like a bit like Barry Fry. Don't worry about the score. Just go out there and score goals. And lots of games end up 7-4 and things like that. So I really would have expected more goals from today.
Do you want a fun fact about Doncaster?
It's a shithole.
Well, that's true. Hello to all of our Doncaster fans. They tweeted at the weekend, we featured this on the Pipsis pod, they put a tweet out, I think it was midway through last week, advertising for a new kit man. applicants, yes, it's just a tweet saying, anyone fancy a change of career, we're now taking applications for a kit man. So there you go. Well, I'm still waiting to hear, but they weren't very keen on neon pink, sadly. But yeah, you don't get that in the Premier League. You get Pep Guardiola saying, yeah, we're looking for a laundry attendant on Twitter, do you?
Nice.
Well, you know, he's on the internet. I've got to love him for that. Right, okay, in the chat box we have Dave Faber, Reese 1237, Lossless, Forza Football, Daniel Cronin, Daniel Fry, West London Goon, personal favourite, Corey Sealess, 82 Seaside, 73295, and Gazman Jones. And Gazman Jones wins already. To be fair, I'd be sick on that disgusting budget duvet. Well, Gazman, what do you expect from Poundland Jesus?
Gaz, behave yourself, you little bitch.
82 Seaside, is it? I'd expect this to be 5-0, to be honest with you. Not with this podcast, I can tell you. right, Chris. Oh, Jesus.
Yes?
You know, Sanchez... I'm going to go straight to the goal, actually, because we've really messed this up today. Although we weren't holding shape in attack, Sanchez picks up the ball, middle of the park, and puts a beautiful ball through for Theo to score. Talk me through it. Let me know what's happening.
I mean, it's a very good goal. It's this kind of goal that when you're playing a team that is going to sit in deep and is going to protect the back four with a front five and just going to sit and essentially just box themselves in, it's the kind of pass you need to unlock a team like that, because getting down the flanks is one thing, but they're going to pack the penalty area. You're not going to be able to play through them. You're going to have to go over them. And Alexis, we know he's got that quality. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think he's anywhere near at the level that he was at last season yet, fitness-wise. I think I've seen a lot of people question his attitude and all of this. I don't think it's anything to do with attitude. I just don't think he's at the level yet. I don't think he's sharp and match fit yet. So I think that will come. When that does come, I think we'll see the best of Alexis. And it was a delightful pass, and it was the sort of thing we know he got in his locker. And credit to Theo Walker. I know Danny's going to probably come in about Theo a little later on, but it was a very, very good take and touch and finish. And that's the sort of thing that when, as we've said 1,000 times before, when Theo hasn't got time to think, he's a very good finisher. He didn't really have time to think, but the first touch made the goal, drew the goalkeeper and a lovely take. So not sure about the Archer celebration, not sure what that's all about. But decent goal for a player who's, as we've said a number of times, is a bit of a crossroads in his career. So if he's going to perform and he's going to get chances for the league side, he's going to have to impress in competitions like this when he gets the chance.
No, absolutely, absolutely, pal. I'm sorry, guys. Right, somebody, who is it? Somebody made the point in the box. It was a team without much chemistry. You got a lot of players coming back with Rusty, Dan. We looked disjointed. We looked sloppy. We weren't sharp at all, were we? And when you look at the number of caps on that pitch, even with the rustiness taken into account, I was a bit surprised. What did you think of it, Dan?
About what, the overall performance?
No, but in the first half, the rustiness of the players, you know, with the quality.
Yeah, but how many of these players have played many games all season? The League Cup, I wouldn't want to see our best 11 go out there and play in the League Cup, because there's no need for it. It's a competition that we use for blooding youngsters, which we did. We had, which is another thing I like, we had 6 England players starting and another 5 England players on the bench, which is something I like to see, because we need to have all these young players coming through. And you've got the likes of Holding, who is a young player, Maitland-Niles and Nelson all starting the game, which is good, because all 3 of those have got quite a big future at the club. It's brilliant to see Jack Wilshere starting the game. But people are moaning. So would people, if we'd have gone out there and we'd have played a full strength, full fit 11, and we'd have smashed them 7-0, people would have gone, well, hold on. I said, why wasn't Wilshere playing? We need to get him back for fitness so he can play some games. Maitland Niles and Nelson, why weren't they playing? We need to see what they can do. They need some first team time. So Wenger's buggered no matter what he does. I'm surprised that he didn't bring on, actually, he did bring someone on. He brought Willock on, didn't he? Yeah, right. And he could play the last 5 minutes. Yeah, I forgot to refresh my page. He didn't do it on its own, last 6 minutes. So we had, what's that? 8 England players playing tonight. That's brilliant. And so many of these players have been like 1, 2, 3, 4. I suppose Walcott could be classed maybe as come through the system because he was here when he was, what, 17? 16. 8 youngsters. No, Chambers, 9 youngsters have come through tonight and they've all played a game. Which is good. Right? We would like to have seen more goals. And it's not like we weren't trying with 27 shots and 8 on target. Who was that famous Russian goalkeeper? Was it Lev Yashin?
Yeah.
I reckon you could dig Lev Yashin up and have the ghost of Lev Yashin in goal and he'd have the game of his life against us at the Emirates. It's just a typical thing of the goalkeeper's curse with us.
No, but bear with me a second, Dan. Okay, you know, we didn't get many chances on target. And the ones we did get on target, they were poor efforts, in all fairness. Okay, you know, we weren't effective tonight whatsoever. Now, that's the issue I have is that, you know, I get we've got a disjointed side, but you look at the number of caps on the pitch, you look at the quality of player, and no disrespect to Doncaster Rovers. Now, you know, these guys are professional footballers playing their trade, but the League One, the gap in quality between the two teams, it's a massive chasm. And yet, you know, although I thought they were resolute, I don't think Doncaster were great tonight. I don't.
Yeah, but we've got a half-fit team. And how many of that other team that we've got at the moment have actually spent much time playing together? Hardly any of them. So it's a mishmash. I think we kept a clean sheet. We looked all right. From the first, well, I suppose, the first half hour of it, we looked pretty good. But I suppose the applause must go to Doncaster because coming late on in the second half, they looked like they could have gone down there and scored. They had a couple of good chances, like that one that I thought was being tipped over, but you said he didn't. He hit the bar. So either way, that was another good one they had. They were taking good corners at the end.
Does it matter? Well, I mean, you know, I see there's a lot of people angry. I mean, who'd have thought Arsenal fans angry on Twitter? But I mean, does it really matter? I mean, Chelsea have gone and thumped Nottingham Forest. That's fine. But Spurs only won 1-0 last night. Manchester City won away at West Brom, albeit only 2-1. I mean, Liverpool lost to Leicester, by the way. Hello, Alex. How you doing?
Leicester, family team. And I will say it does matter, Chris, because people, you know, they finish work, they go to the game, they're paying their money. They do expect a better quality performance than this.
Oh, performance, I agree. But I'm just saying, like, the scoreline, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's, you know, we should be smashing this team 73-1. It's, oh, come on. You know, you don't get points for scoring more goals. Yeah, of course, it's nice to put a team to the sword. But I don't know about any of you lot. I'd rather see us beat West Brom 4-0 than Doncaster 7-0.
Well, it wasn't as if like it was against Chelsea, where I think we had one shot on target in the entire game. If we'd have done that against Doncaster, then feel free to shout and scream and throw your toys out of the pram. But we're going to gain from this. Jack has played 90 minutes. Who would have thought we'd have seen Jack play an entire 90 minutes again?
First time in 1,093 days, Danny.
Well, there you go. For the kiddies at home trying to take their socks and shoes off, that's just over 3 years. And nice to see. I've still not got that tooth fixed, so I can't say things properly. So nice to see Theo Walcott actually see the ball coming over, control it, and then have a shot on goal all in one swooping movement, which is really good. Nice to see Sanchez play the full 90 minutes because we haven't seen the best of him in the Premier League. Because he's, yet again, Wenger's given him, said, oh, go on, son, have 6 months off in the summer or however long he gives him off. Holding, nice to see him doing well. Ospina looked all right. Mertesacker was a couple of times tested for pace. I think we found Mertesacker's pace level, which is the third tier of English football. He was even out his arse at one point. Jack was still at one point in the 80th minute, they were making quite a charge at goal and Jack was running back at goal and you could see that he was really struggling to keep up there. So someone's just said to me on Twitter that he reckons that Jack might have lost a yard in pace. Well,
he's still coming back, isn't he, to be fair to him?
Hopefully he won't have. But I can see why people are annoyed, because Giroud did treat this game like a friendly game of FIFA, full of tricks and flicks and scorpion tricks. I don't need that. When we're 3 or 4 nil up, then do it.
But Dan, I don't think he was alone. I look at Ashley Maitland, Ainsley Maitland, Niles, sorry.
Ashley, you said Ashley.
I know, I can't believe it. That's what you say. But Ainsley Maitland-Niles, you can see the boy's talent. He's, you know, he's a lovely little footballer.
Playing him in the right position was really good for him.
But he looked a bit too cool for school, you know. He's very relaxed and what have you. And I just think concentration levels for him to make the next step up, you know, he needs to be at it, right?
He is a right-sided player. Right, he's right-footed, right-sided, and he's playing the left again.
There were a couple of mistakes that he made today, which had nothing to do with being, with what side he played on.
Yeah, but he made up for that with the way that
His defensive effort is superb.
Oh, man, that was amazing. What did he make up? 4 yards on that bloke in the space of like a quarter of the length of the pitch. That was one of the best interceptions I've seen in years.
He did it twice, to be fair, and I'm not just the pace, but his strength in the challenge as well. You know, he was really strong in the challenge. You know, you've got to, you know, he's made mistakes during the game, but to be fair to him, he's made up for them. And you can just see a top quality footballer in there, but he's got to get his concentration right. Is Chris still there?
Oh, yeah.
It's your bloody cat.
Yeah. It's the guilty party right here. Yeah.
Dirty bastard.
Oh, yeah, nice. Between your cat and redneck racists, I don't know what the hell's going on. Seriously. Chris, there were certain points in the game where, as Danny's alluded to, Pear got kind of caught up the park or whatever. And in the first half, what I really liked was Chambers, even though he's rusty, he's not had football since the summer. You could see him move into position, covering. You know, you can see his football intelligence really develop. Shamey went off at half-time. Do we know why he went off?
No, not seen anything. I don't know whether he was, as you say, whether he was just rusty, whether it was one of those situations where he's, you know, he's sort of coming back and being eased back into the game and he felt a little niggle. Dom said to us on a number of occasions in the past where players sort of have injuries and then they come back, it generally does take them a while before they're fully up to speed. So they can often do a little bit of a tweak or a little bit of a pull or a strain. But yeah, there's nothing come out that I can see on Twitter as of yet. I'd tell a lie. Something has just come out. Wenger apparently quoted as saying that Chambers suffered a recurrence of his hip injury. And could be out for 1 to 2 weeks. So, that does sound to me like, as you say, as we said earlier, coming back not too soon, but maybe just pushing it that little bit harder and, you know, something goes a little bit pop. So, yeah, I think he's... You know, is he going to be the future as he once was proclaimed to be? Only time will tell. But it's nice to have two options of young English centre-backs rather than just sort of putting all the pressure on Rob Holding, because he's obviously going to have a period of time where he's out of form as well, as he showed start of the season. So I think, yeah, getting Chambers back fit. I know it's maybe not a popular view, but I would always have rather have had Chambers than Gabriel personally. So I think that's going to be the option Arsene Wenger has when he's back fit again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Chambers, and I couldn't believe the talk in the summer that we were considering selling him, especially after the decent loan spell he'd had at Borough. You know, where he's sharpened his game up, he's played at centre-half all season. Even though Borough went down, he played well in defence with them, Ben Gibson, you know. I can see parallels between Holding and Chambers, where when they first burst on the scene, yes, they're lauded as, you know, better than Cannavaro, the next greatest thing ever. And as soon as they, you know, they lose a bit of form, all of a sudden we're on them and we're like a pack of wolves on them. And, you know, these two young lads, they're top quality players, you know, at their level. They need to be developed properly. Dan?
I'm just looking at the Doncaster's last game. They lost 1-0 at home to Scunthorpe, and they played the formation of 4-3-1-2. And tonight they played 5-4-1. So I think that's a big part of the reason as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I thought they were very disciplined. I thought, you know, especially our first half where we did dominate the game.
And that Kondolo looked pretty decent, didn't he? Have something to do with Man City.
Yeah, Man City training. But, you know, we dominated the game first half. We had enough chances. You know, you had Theo have a couple of chances. Ollie had a couple of chances. You know, we weren't effective in attack, but Doncaster held their lines, you know, made it difficult for us. And that was the story of the first half. We were a bit sloppy. We didn't take advantage of our challenges, of our opportunities. Sorry, just got a little shut down. How do you feel he performed in the first half?
Well, I just wrote a few notes for the first half because the second half wasn't as good. But I, at one point, people listening on iTunes, I'm putting both my hands in front of me, giving them a wiggle like two fat players. So Jack was running down the middle of the pitch and these two players were closing in on him like two lions going after a bison for an afternoon snack. And rather than Jack from recent years would have just carried on going and tried to swerve through the pair of them, he didn't. He looked to one side and he got rid of the ball. And now he did that, I think, three or four times tonight, at least, that I counted, because I was watching another website of stuff because I got a bit bored. And yeah, they say hello, John, by the way. Yeah, so it was really good to see Jack doing that, because that's what we've all said. He doesn't learn his lessons, and this is how he keeps getting his injuries. It's not because he's injury prone, it's because he keeps hold of the ball too long, and then he does get kicked, and then he continuously gets kicked. And so he was doing that, and that was really nice for him to see. And when he went over to take the one of the corners from the right side of the pitch, because on the left-hand side of the pitch, I think it might be Sanchez who was taking it in the first half. And Jack picked the ball up and he went over there, and then the fans all cheered him. And then about a minute later, the ball went back out again and Sanchez got it. And I think there was a few people that might have booed. I'm not too sure, because the commentator spoke over it. And I thought, is that them booing Sanchez again? That's not good. But overall, I'm really happy for Jack. He's shown that he can play 90 minutes and that he was very disciplined as well. Because a lot of the time in recent seasons, he's had a touch of the Alex Songs, hasn't he? He's been all over the place. But it was like he was like a metronome up and down the pitch, get the ball, pass it away, intercept the ball, give it, pass it and move on again. I'm overjoyed. I had a tear in my eye because I love Jack. And I'm so happy that he's doing well. But his contract's up at the end of this season and we're not going to pay him like $1,000 a week, are we? So he's playing for his future.
To be honest, Dan, 2 points. When Sanchez took the corner, I'm pretty sure that's where the away end was.
So, it was, yes. You know, they could have been
so you know, you don't know what's what there.
I can't tell a northern boo from a southern boo. So,
well, you know, you're from God, Manchester, it's a bit of nowhere.
I'm from London, actually, but I'll let you away with that.
Bugger off. secondly, although I thought Jack played well first half, it's a League One side. You're not talking Chelsea, Man United here. You know, he's got a long road to recovery now. And again, in a similar vein to Chambers and Holding, let's not put too much pressure on him. You know, let him get his minutes under his belt. Let him get his game sharpness back. And
he looks better than Elneny. He had a much better game than Elneny did. Elneny was just doing his usual... I like Elneny. I've got a lot of time for him.
But Elneny's not the type of player Jack is. Let's be honest. We know what Elneny is. Chris, in the first half, we couldn't hold our attacking shape. Beginning the second half, we lost our defensive and midfield shape totally. What do you put that down to? Again, as somebody's already alluded to, is it down to the fact that the team had no chemistry, not enough time on the training pitch together?
Just had a sneezing fit there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all going off tonight. Chemistry's a big thing. I think you've got, you know, if you play together each week, you get sort of rhythm, you get a feel for each other's games. Again, it doesn't bother me too much. I think for me that the real benefit of the game tonight, particularly as a whole, is the fact that players have all got game time. Like Danny said about Wilshere, obviously we know Chambers now got the injury, but there's experience for the young boys as well. I think you always get these sort of performances second half, or I say you always, you often get them, because there's just as you quite rightly say, players are trying to find their positions, are trying to adjust. I mean, we started the game with two players technically out of position as it is, without then changing it up again. You see substitutions happen as well. I say I don't read into it too much. I think that's exactly the reason why, the chemistry thing. But ultimately, of the starting lineup tonight, how many of them are going to play against West Brom next weekend or next Monday? Not many. So it's just an opportunity to get more legs, more game time in the legs, and take that on when these players required. That's what we've all said. We want a squad that's ready if and when required. So we've got that now. And if we can integrate players like Wilshere into the first team setup when called upon, then great. I'm not completely sold on the Jack is back bandwagon, but you know, games like this are only going to help him. And well, we've seen who we've got in the next round is another home tie, so probably an opportunity for more minutes for him then, as well as some of the other young players.
David, sorry, 73295 is just put in the chat box. Question: was that a hairball or did Chris just shave his armpit?
Both.
Look, let's be fair. I'm not sure if Chris or the cat picked up the hairball. It could have been either. And they've shared a room with Chris. It's not pretty.
True.
You don't need to say anything. It's not
pretty.
Question
for you, Jace.
Yeah.
We saw tonight that we were playing right-footed right winger Maitland-Niles on as a left wing back, and we were playing Reece Nelson, who is a number 10 in the old-fashioned style. He's much like Sanchez, where he can play anywhere across the front three. We're playing him as a right wing back. Now, we've got the same problem with the Jeff, who is I think he's another winger, come midfielder. Do you think it's going to do these young players any damage, the fact that they're playing out of position and in a formation that they probably haven't played before? Because those two should be playing in a 4-4-2 or 3-5-2 or something like that, or maybe playing behind the main striker.
No, I don't think it's going to do any damage. Look, as far as AMN is concerned, he's a very talented guy. Okay, he's a really talented kid. Okay, hold up, yeah. Oh, LCFC. Hello, George Kuru. I'd just like to say, go fuck yourself.
You're at the chat box. He had a point.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm not putting that.
Is that Leicester City fan or Leatherhead City?
I don't know. Chill Doctor, second half's atrocious. I nearly broke my TV. Yeah. Yeah, look, you know, as far as AMN is concerned, you know, he's won a Junior World Cup in the summer. He's a talented guy. The good thing about him tonight is when he did make mistakes, he made up for them. It's game time that's important to him, right? It's being included in the team and developing as a player. And, it's not his favourite position at times or what have you, but he's, you know, he's learning a bit of flexibility. He will come into his own. And he's got to earn the right to play in his favourite position, OK? That's the truth with all these kids. You know, when it used to gripe my shit when you used to say in the podcast, Stephen O'Connor, Irish future Irish legend, Dan Crowley, future English legend. They've earned nothing. Reece Nelson at the moment, he's showing a lot of talent, OK? But you could see tonight the step up to adult football, to man's football, you know, the physicality was a little bit daunting for him at times. He's finding his feet. Give him time. He will develop in his own time. He's had minutes tonight. They'll be invaluable to him going forward. Right on? But, we don't need to expect him to score a worldie on his debut. We don't need that. We just need him to develop slowly and earn the right to be part of the squad and then to be part of the team. So I think Mr. V, that's really harsh on Iwobi. They've got to earn the right to play. Right? And for Nelson, I thought he did quite well tonight. He wasn't outstanding, but he was solid. And you know, the boy, how old is Reece Nelson? 17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young boy. This isn't the Spanish league where it's not as physical, where, you know, somebody breathes and you get a free kick. You know,
the feeder league.
No, it's not the feeder. La Fida. La Fida, La Fraudster League.
That's the one.
you know, this is a hard league. Doncaster, a physical side. League One's a physical league. And I thought Nelson did well.
Chill Doctor's just asking, why doesn't our academy produce any defenders? Well, you have Julio Unpronounceable.
Pecosuelo.
Bless you. He's a decent player, and he was on loan last season at a Spanish team that I come up in, Mallorca.
Yeah,
and he was left out for most of the season, but for, I think once they realised they got relegated, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Realised they were relegated. He played in about had a run of about playing in the last five or six league games, and he was played really, really well.
But let's be fair, okay? How many other big clubs have developed their own defenders?
Well, for other there teams, aren't many. No one.
The last big one.
You don't have to nowadays, do you?
Yeah. Don't forget about Christian Bieling as well, by the way. Yeah. Because he's going to be a superstar.
But the last big defender to come through their own academy was John Terry at Chelsea. Everybody else is bought from somewhere else. Probably as an academy player coming through, defender is the most difficult position to come through because it's unforgiving.
But do you like the look of Josh De Silva for people who are listening? He's, I think he's 18, 17 or 18. He's left-footed. His usual position is a defensive midfielder, but he does play it. I think he's been playing at left-back for the under-23s. I thought when he came on, he looked pretty good. You're not going to knock him off the ball easily, are you?
He's a specimen. He's had half a game of football. I'm not making any judgments on the boy. He didn't look right to me tonight, but he probably wasn't expecting to go on the pitch. So I'm not going to... Josh, Ake is not in the Chelsea team. He's back at Bournemouth. You know, I'm talking about proper, you know, somebody who comes to the academy and nails down a first-team place. You know, we had Kieran Gibbs. That didn't work out as it should have. Sorry, Chris, go on.
I was just going to say there's a young defender that we're taking a look at the moment playing in France, which sort of says it all, is that maybe defensive positioning is not what we're strong at bringing through the academy. We tend to buy in, don't we? We tend to buy in young. I hope we get him, actually, because, Danny, it would be hilarious hearing you try and pronounce Jérôme Engenié or Engenié. So,
big place
for Sosho. So, yeah... I think maybe centre back is just a position that Arsene Wenger has never been. I wouldn't say he's never been defensive minded, but he prefers
Tony Adams.
Players.
He's never been defensive minded.
Name me another club who has brought through their own.
Oh no, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. There's not many. Look at Manchester United bought Chris Smalling and Phil the Face Jones, didn't they? And Luke Shaw. And I think Southampton's probably the exception to the rule. Jack Stevens comes through their academy. Who's the other boy that they brought through, the young lad? There's another one there. I can't remember his bloody name, Ross. No, but yeah, I think Southampton is probably one exception, but there aren't many. I mean, West Brom has still got a 37-year-old centre-back, haven't they? So, yeah, there is a dearth across English football of young centre-backs. It's a difficult position to come through because the game's changed since John Terry came through, being a big elegant centre-back or a Rio Ferdinand. Nowadays, you've got to be a unit from day one. And if you're playing at a younger level, you're probably not going to get the chance at centre-back that you would if you're a striker.
Kurt Azuma. He'd start in most Premier League teams. And he's Chelsea farmed him out. He's out of it.
Yeah,
right.
True. Yeah.
Right, let's get back to the game, boys, okay? Jesus wept. Dan, let's go back to you. Olivier Giroud, an overhead kick in the box, second half. With the recent, we spoke about this on Sunday on the radio show, and you know, I got my thoughts on overhead kicks at the moment with head injuries in sport. There was no harm to anybody. It didn't look like he was going to catch anybody. But do you think he should be making that challenge at this moment in time with the way, after the Mane incident? What do you think?
I think that's a sign that you don't rate your opponents if you start doing that early on in the game. And he tried two of them in the game, and neither of them came off. And I think someone in Europe at the weekend get sent off for a similar challenge to like the Mane one.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they are going to start cracking down on it, because Joe Rogan's always going on about head injuries and saying they did the NFL in America did a test on over 1,000 ex-NFL players, and 99% of them had one form of brain damage or another from constant impacts. So maybe, I mean, football isn't a contact sport, though, is it?
Yes, it is. It is. But
the challenge you're referring to, Danny, was Naby Keita's for Leipzig.
For Red Bull. Rassenball.
Which where he raked his studs down the side of the guy's face, but
But then you had the one for Man City, their goalkeeper. He got, the one against Mane, and that looked terrible. So maybe everyone should go out there wearing crash helmets, but it's something you've got to take seriously.
You take a look at Peter Cech. Mm. You know, the Stephen Hunt incident. You know, when he you know, piled into him. You know, and you get these ex-pros, Czech's got to toughen up, etc. Christ almighty, you don't rugby pitch again red-carded.
Mm.
I tend to agree with Rudy Rastos, by the way. I thought Giroud's unlucky with his efforts. But the overhead kick...
He was like trying to thread it through, wasn't he, and trying to do something. You can't do that when airplane nine at the back. He kept trying. There's no harm in it.
I the first one, you know, that as Chris said earlier on, I thought that was a thing of beauty. But you know, it's different if you don't score with them, isn't it? You know, it's one of those things. Chris, second half, our movement off the ball just stopped. Too many players standing around. You know, everybody likes a dribble when they've got the ball, but unfortunately, work off the ball was not up to standard for me. What did you make of it?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. The longer the game went at sort of 1-0, the more people started to fall asleep, it seemed. And as I said before, it's difficult with these games, because for me, it's just about the results, especially in this competition where it's not high priority. I think it's fair to say. That's not meaning to sound disrespectful, but it isn't. We've got big games coming up in the Premier League and in the Europa League, if you can call them big games in Europa League. But I think it's just all about the result is what's key in this particular evening. And I think that's all we're going to think about. This is not going to be a game that everyone's going to write back in 10 years and go, oh, do you remember the Arsenal Donny game? No, not at all. And I think the last time we played them, was that not Fabregas' debut? I think it was. I think that was Doncaster back in the day. So
a few years back.
I think it was 5-2, wasn't it, for memory? Sesk and the mullet. I think it was the same game. But it wasn't a thriller. It's certainly, I'm not going to really remember it tomorrow morning, let alone in a year's time. So the result's key. That is all that matters. And like I said earlier on, it's an opportunity for players to get minutes in their legs. And especially people like Sanchez, that's invaluable at the moment, because he hasn't looked sharp since the start of the season. He needs that game time.
Yeah. I think it's a fair comment, Dan. Second half, on one of our forays up top, we've had a 3-on-2 where Theo's missed, then we got a 4-on-3, and then he takes a shot. Defender does really well, to be fair to him. Comes across, goes up for a corner, but one of my concerns is, you know, in a game like this, should you know when you're four, if you're not going to finish 4-on-3s or 3-on-2s against Doncaster, how are you going to hope to finish them in the Premier League? What do you think?
It's going to be the same answer, isn't it? They're not ready. They're not used to playing together. They weren't fully fit, and Doncaster weren't letting anybody play. I mean, I've already said they've changed their formation to go all out defensive, and I would have hoped to get a few more goals than we got tonight, but. Sometimes if someone isn't going to come and play nice, then you ain't going to have a good game, are you? We can try, I mean, 27 shots, 8 on target. I mean, they've tried their asses off, and their goalkeeper was magnificent. That one where he jumped up and he saved it from, I think it was Reece Nelson on the right-hand side. He just about got to it. I thought, oh, that was perfectly placed by Reece Nelson. So yeah, I think we're just giving them a hard time. If we'd have got one or two more, people would be going, oh, it's just we expected them to do that. I'm not worried about anything at all.
Why are people losing? I've just seen the chat box. A few people have said, you know, we won, just move on. I get it. You know, I get that it's not been blow-away performance, but how would people have felt? Oh, my goodness me. Real Betis has just scored in the last minute against Madrid. Wow.
Header. Lovely.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like, what do you want? I mean, how would people feel if we performed, like you said earlier, Danny, in this game, and we turned up and we were all singing, all dancing? Everyone's just going to say, well, it's only Doncaster.
If we did another Reading, and it was like a 7-4.
Exactly. So, and if we, you know, if we turn up against West Brom and, you know, and shit the bed and draw 1-1, people are not going to say, well, at least we beat Doncaster 7-0. Of course they're not.
Everyone's always going to raise their game when they come to here, as Spurs are finding out. Exactly. Everybody's raising all of their games for every game at Wembley.
Exactly.
Okay, do we all actually want to laugh at the turnout at Wembley last night?
Was it 24,000 or something?
No, there were 12. There were actually 12 people there.
You could hear it. You could hear a tin can rattling around the stand as they went in.
Yeah, let's be honest, boys. When you got a chance to go to Wembley, there's people always moan they can't get tickets. Apparently, well, you could get tickets for that game, couldn't you?
Jace, could we divert everyone to your timeline to see the wonderful video yeah. Oh God, I mean they are. It's hilarious.
If you want to laugh. Go down my timeline and there's a Spurs fan ripping off the Lion King or something like that.
It's painful.
What is that about? That just makes no sense.
It's so cringe, honestly.
I didn't know whether to stop laughing to have a puke. It was that bad. Like
they've been eating their own homegrown mushrooms.
I'm not being funny. And Jules Wheeler put on there, what about the doll? What's this business with the doll? I think the doll was a souvenir the guy had from a police interview. I think it's one of those dolls, okay?
Is it David Blake?
No comment. in any case.
Oh, the inflatable one that we used to throw around in the stands.
No, it wasn't that nice.
Gideon makes a point in here. He's put no chemistry. I think that has got a lot to do with tonight as well.
Okay, so right on. We were talking about this now, okay? It's a no-win game for us. I like to accept that. But when you're at a club the size of Arsenal, surely, you know, these no-win games are the ones that for the guys not in the team, for the youngsters coming through, they're an opportunity to prove themselves. And I don't think there are any terrible performances tonight. I think the no chemistry, you know, disjointed argument is bang on the money, and you know we got the job done, so who cares?
Nice. Nobody. When you logged in, are you logged in as the Bergkamp Wonderland?
Oh yeah,
I am. It's your own one.
I'm logged in as Bergkamp Wonderland.
So am I. That might be why your computer isn't working properly.
Oh, there you go. Amateurs.
Because we're both commenting in the chat box, both as a Bergkamp Wonderland. I'm going to say something defamatory and blame you.
Well, to be fair, okay, you know, crack on. But I'm hosting. Well, never mind. So, Chris, what do you think of that? You know, it's a no-win situation, but surely this is the opportunity for the Giroux, for the Alexises, for the Elnenes to put their hand up, and not quite taken tonight, unfortunately.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because again,
stop! Dave Faber's just put in the box. Pairbirds are sacking.
Runs faster. David Pleat drives. Superb. That, boys and girls, is why he's the best. I sound like a bloody broken record here, but I'm going to say the same thing again. You cannot win. It's like you said there, Jace. If you turn up and you absolutely steamroller somebody, Manchester United played, but now being tonight, Marcus Rashford's got a couple of goals. One of them was absolutely superb. And yeah, it was a really superb goal, but people are absolutely wanking themselves blind over this kid. And he hasn't actually done anything at a level where you go, take your hat off and go, wow, that's incredible. And it's the same for our lot. You know, it's all about the, when it really matters, we need to get big performances from big players. And if I'm not really that interested, if Alexis Sanchez scores 7 goals or 3 goals, 2 goals against Doncaster, it looks brilliant. If he goes missing at Anfield, you know, so it doesn't really. And I know that's a simple way of looking at it, but for me, it's all just about that the legs element and the sort of consistency of game time. That's all it's about for me tonight, and it'll be the same against Norwich in the next round.
I'm just looking at the predictions. Jace went 4-0 Theo. Christopher Highland on holiday living in South America went 3-0 Theo. John put 3-0 Alexis. And what did Carl put? Carl put 4-0 Alexis, Steve 4-1, Dom 3-0. I'm just looking to see if anybody... No one predicted a massively big score apart from me, really.
Shall I let you into a little secret, Danny?
Go on.
I'll let you into a little secret. I had a bet tonight on three fixtures, and they all came in. I had Chelsea to win minus two goals, Arsenal to win by one goal, and Manchester United to win by three clear goals.
Yeah, but you only ever put £1 on stuff. What did you win? £1.80?
Actually, I put £7.60 on that, and I got £73. So, ding, that's my ass.
So what you're saying, Chris, is you can be bothered to bet, but you can't be bothered to do the prediction.
No, it's a fix, Jace. This is a silent protest. I'm finally coming out. I'm finally breaking the silence on the prediction game. I'm not.
That's internal only.
I'm not competing this season because Danny is actually fixing it. So
is this a silent protest or a dirty protest?
It's a dirty protest. That's what the cat was puking up earlier. That's what it was all about.
I've got a question for Chris from remember Stan the Man who came on during the transfer deadline day, and hopefully you're going to get him on for a radio show because he's very good, and Femster, he was very good as well. He says, is Debuchy really so bad that he can't get a game against Doncaster? What's the story? Not Morning Glory.
He's not match fit. He hasn't been match fit for a while. Yeah. Some people will have you believe that he just likes sitting there picking up his wages and he doesn't actually care. Oh, do me a favour. It's so tiresome. People who just spout off nonsense. I even saw, of all people, Tim Stillman go after him the other day. And now I respect him as a man and as some of his stuff he tweets is very, very good, particularly South American stuff. But this lazy thing of, he's nicking a living, all this crap. Oh, God, do me a favour. Arsene Wenger will pick him when he's fit. He's not fit at the moment. It's a silly debate. As David has just put in the group, thank you there, Dave. But it's one of those things. People have got very, very short memories. When we signed Debuchy, he was a very, very accomplished international footballer. He got his career at Arsenal basically banjaxed by a Stoke player. Where have we heard that before? And he was never the same since. And you know, he's played a couple of games at centre back for us and did very well, particularly at Anfield. I seem to remember a couple of seasons ago.
He was fantastic. He scored
When he's fit, he will add experience to the club. And the reason Ali D, why Debuchy still at our club, because he couldn't negotiate a term to join other clubs. He had talks with four clubs in the transfer window. The two French clubs he spoke to couldn't afford to pay his wages, which is not his fault. It's the club's fault, which we've gone over time and time again. He didn't fancy playing for Brighton. No offence, but I don't blame him because, you know, they're going to be in a relegation scrap at the end of the day. And he wanted to stay at Arsenal and see what happened with his career. He's not the player that asked for 90 grand a week. He's the player that was offered it. So, it's, you know, to me, it's not his fault. So people just need to stop having a go at him.
And I've got to be honest, I do agree with you there, Chris. I think, you know...
Twice tonight. You're making me sick.
Yeah, no, but Debuchy, I mean, you know, let's be fair, you know, the amount of his challenge on him was horrendous, okay? You know, off the pitch, the whole works. You know, typical dirty cunt and out of it, okay? You know, he's an absolute piece of shit. Oh, hold up, yeah. Who the hell is Pine Pine?
You're not going to ban someone for swearing, are you, with your potty mouth?
No. Hey, my mate name is Ben Dover. Can you please say hi to my friend Sweet Pea Ness? He's a huge fan.
Ben Dover, what, the English porn star?
Yeah, I think so.
What does he think we all know, about 17?
I don't know what's going on yet.
Seen some of his finest work.
Hey, ta-da. In any case, you know, you look at the big sheet, you know, that was a horror challenge. It took him a while. Then you had the emergence of Bellerin, and all of a sudden Bellerin was the best right back in the world, according to many Arsenal fans, which, you know, the kid's still learning his defensive game, to be fair to him. And
everyone's on the green that Debuchy was brilliant until the injury. So
he's a good player, okay? You know, and it's just the side of it where, you know, he wanted a move to get into the Euro squad. Well, if you're a professional footballer, as much as, you know, I may disagree the way he went about it at times, you know, you can't knock the ambition of the boy, you know. So, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to, you can't just keep on knocking players, we can't.
Can I just call out Ali as well? He's put in the group here, The only player...
What are you, a 17-year-old American man with ill-fitting trousers?
Well, they are ill-fitting. The only player who can slag off the club and the manager still be at the club. He didn't do either, Ali. So let's get our facts right here, shall we?
Unfortunately, a lot of people kind of take what's said in the press and they think it's actual fact. You know, there's a lot of clickbait merchants out there, you know, because there are certain bloggers who do it, you know? Yeah.
Saying the likes of Jon Snow. No, not Jon Snow.
Jon Snow, he's a BBC reporter, isn't he?
There's the likes of Jon Cross and his lot are doing deliberate clickbait.
Jon Virgin, as Dom calls him.
Oh, you know, you've got the Le Grove business, okay? You know,
Where's that horse, Chase? Has anyone seen that horse? Where's that horse?
I don't know. I think he's in the red zone, is it?
Chase, he's that pine that said, you sound like the groundskeeper from The Simpsons, that Scottish one.
Oh,
don't upset him, Pine, because he'll never find out where you are. He has a certain set of skills.
Yeah. Let's get back to this, okay? You know, it's very difficult nowadays because, you know, we've seen in the summer where certain members of the hierarchy of the club are briefing against other members of the hierarchy of the club. Then you've got the clickbait stuff, you know, the nonsense and what have you, the sensationalist side of it. And, you know, if you catch anyone on the right day, you're going to react, aren't you? You know?
Jace, here's a prime example, okay? I'll give you this as an example. We can draw a line under Debussy after this. The same people that are in the chat box tonight, I'm not having a go at you guys per se, you've got the right to your opinion, but the same people that are having a go at Debussy are the exact same people that are lauding Jack Wilshere's miraculous return to being a committed Arsenal player, the same people that slagged Jack Wilshere off for removing all of his Arsenal links in the summer. So let's just have a little bit of realism here. You know, players change their minds, players have issues, players have offers of clubs. You know, Jack Wilshere went on loan to Bournemouth last season instead of staying at Arsenal fighting for his place. So, you know, sometimes people just have to look a little bit further outside the rabbit hole. That's all I'd say.
Yeah, to be fair, I try to take the viewpoint of, I don't know if it's all like in this, Dan, but as long as at the club, you know, we support them, you know, I God love Francis Coughlin. I hope he turns into bloody Pele every time he takes the pitch for us. He's not going to, but, you know, I've got my opinion on him. But when he takes the pitch, I want him to do well. You know, once they leave the club, then they can go fuck themselves.
Welsh justice right there.
But, you know, Dan, I mean, what do you think of that? You know, I mean, it's a difficult balance for a professional sportsman nowadays, especially footballers, with the money that's banded about and, you know, they've got to think of their long-term career, etc. Can they ever win?
No. In a nutshell, no, not really. It's always going to be, no matter what you do, they're going to pick holes in it. There's probably people picking holes in what the Super Pep is doing at Man City with his superb ability to turn shit players into great players. No, what's that? No, I mean,
you had to go there, good players. You had to go there, didn't you?
Dan, that was a sentence of absolute beauty. Well played.
Kyle Walker, £50 million.
Trevor in the chat box, as usual, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to wrap up the game in a second. If you've got any questions, please put them in the chat box. You know, as usual, if you do kind of, whether you like or loathe what we do, if you can give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down, that would be really appreciated. As I say every week, the guys, every single member of the team, put, you know, they give their time up for nothing. We don't take anything out of this. It's a bit of fun for us, and we're lucky enough to be able to interact with you guys. So, you know, as always, thank you for, you know, partaking in it tonight.
Got a question.
Bear me a second. I've got one question for the pair of you.
Ooh,
so,
God,
first half, we dominated, not much end product. Decent finish by Theo. Second half, we fell off the rails. It was poor performance second half. I think Jack kind of sums it up quite nicely. He looked good first half, not great. Second half, you can see the skill level there, but it wasn't quite as effective as it was first half. What did you think of the game overall?
Who are you asking?
I've got Chris first in this.
Yeah, I think I summed it up quite well earlier. I'll stick to my my standard reply of very underwhelming, very forgettable, and bring on Norwich. That's it, really. It's a means to an end. If people don't want to take the chance on a performance like this, there's a reason it's probably about 10 quid to get in tonight, and there's probably a reason why the ground's half empty. You know, it's one of those games, good for the kids to go and see a game and whatnot. People that can't always get to games, good for them to go and watch a game. But yeah, it is what it is. It's a win. Let's move on. West Brom, that's the important game now.
Okay, Dan.
You're never going to beat a team that's playing nine at the back who haven't come there to play football. They've come there to not lose badly. They had a couple of attacks, which I think if they had scored, it'd have opened the game up more, but it didn't. And I suppose you've got to take the positives out of it. We've had players that aren't fit play games. We've had players that we thought we'd never see play games. And we've had some youth players come up and do really well.
Okay, okay. Dan, do you want to go with that question now, mate?
Certainly do. It is, it's now moved down. Where is it from? It's from Jim. He says, was there any repercussions for Jack fighting all the Man City reserves a few weeks ago? Do you know, Jace or Chris?
No idea.
Chris? No, there wasn't. No, I don't think there was. I think, I don't even know if they get, I think they get suspended at youth level, but no.
They got a 3-game ban, but that only applies to under 23 games. So,
yeah, Arsene Wenger was very quiet about it, wasn't he? He didn't really mention, I think he's mentioned that he likes the fact the player has fight and all this jazz, but yeah, it seemed to pass. Like, as with everything in this country, it's a massive story for 24 hours and it's kind of gone, isn't it? So.
There's another one from Mr. V. He says, did the Chelsea game show that Ozil cannot start big away games? Go on, Chris.
What's the latter part of that? That Ozil doesn't...
Did the Chelsea game show that Ozil cannot start big away games?
I wouldn't say cannot. I think I tend to agree with sort of a lot of people that are quite big in the Arsenal community, whether they're saying that it was actually really nice to watch a game on Sunday where we could change tactics, change players, and still look secure. And there's a plan B. The one thing with this back three is it's easy to switch to back four. And the one thing you've got when Mesut and Alexis play, we've proven from that Chelsea game, we can still get a performance out of people. Whereas I think last season it was all about, well, what's Alexis going to do and how's Ozil going to set him up? It's nice that we're now looking at the bigger picture. The other thing as well, as I'm curious, is Arsene Wenger has done this before with players that are in the last year of their contract. Silva Wiltord is listening in quite intently at this point. I wonder if Arsene is also making a bit of a point to these players, particularly to Mesut, and sort of, I'm not disputing there was an injury, but I don't think the injury was as bad as maybe it's being made out. I think he probably could have played if we'd needed him.
And apparently he didn't train the next day either.
Yeah, but he wouldn't, would he? Because if he's photographed in training, everyone knows it's a ruse. Mm. So, you know, I think it was one of those us and went, you know what, this game isn't suited to you. You're going to have to suck it up. I'm all power to it. And that's nothing against Mesut because I love him. But certain games, the kind of podcasts I've listened to this week have said about the Jason Park, Darren Fletcher element from Ferguson's winning teams. We'd rock up at Old Trafford. They would always be in that side. And they get, you know, Park Ji-sung got a winner against us, didn't he? Because they weren't flash players, but they were players suited to that game.
Park Ji-sung played in every big game for United.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, so certain players fit certain fixtures. And, you know, way at Stamford Bridge in a tight game, Mesut as a sub, maybe. But as a starter, well, he proved at Anfield, it's not really his bag, is it? So
he's proved in many a big game that he doesn't turn up, to be honest with you. And the one thing, I'm not sure if it was Jeff or I can't remember who said on this week's podcast, but there's a difference between doing your running and actually putting your foot in. And Mesut doesn't put his foot in. And, you know, it makes me sick to my core when people say that's not his job. It's everybody's job to defend, to put your foot in. And one of the things with Mesut and Alexis, you know, if you're not committed to the club long term, you know, fine, you have your right to move, you're a professional sportsman. I don't begrudge you a big payday and I don't begrudge you a good career. But as soon as you leave, you can go fuck yourself. But this club has to have a future with players who are committed to it. And I hope Arsene Wenger is, you know, giving them a lesson. And I hope he's going to go forward with this. because as much as I love Mesut Ozil as a footballer, and you know Alexis's quality is there to be seen by all, and both of them in that respect. But you know what I saw on Sunday, you know we should have won that game. I was disappointed we didn't win it, but you know I thought Danny Welbeck did his job diligently. He, you know, there was proper effort there. Lacazette, good movement up top. You know, right through the team, people played well and they played for the shirt. And that's going to be important for us this season. You know, we are one midfielder down, you know. We did need another one to come in. We need to manage the team properly. It's going to need everybody to participate. You know, I thought Elneny did well when he came on. You know, we had the upper hand by then. But, you know, Elneny looked a far better player on Sunday than he did tonight. Which, you know, we can see why. But, you know, if Mesut Ozil wants to play in the big games, he has to perform. You know, he's got away with far too much, in my opinion.
There's no such thing as a short answer with you two, is there, for fuck's sake?
No, sorry. A
player who we all know did that wonderful interview with Tony Adams, and he's been on with a book review of us before. He says, tonight's attendance, as this is a tweet, has been confirmed as 44,064, making it the lowest first-team crowd since the club moved to the Emirates 11 long years ago.
Well, it's Doncaster.
Wasn't the weather for it either, was it?
And it's still 20,000 more than Spurs at.
I'm going to go and have a quick look. David, as our very own Mr. Gunaholic, has said, Debuchy faces a dairy future. A pay is contract.
Diaby future, yeah.
I know. So I said, yeah, he's Diaby. And he says, pay as you play contract back home and pray he can recover from the Arnaz of it assault. I said, that's because Debuchy has been milking a living. He'd be good at a dairy. to see if anyone else put any good point.
I've got one here, mate. Right, Danny, this is for you, and it's for Zare Petkov, and it's: would you feel confident with this team for the Barca Europa tie after tonight?
No, because even though it's just the Europa League, those teams are some of the best teams in their countries. They'll be used to playing together. We play too many young players out of position. And I don't want them to get the Rob Holding, Callum Chambers effect, which is at times we think, oh, that's not good for them. So, no, I don't want to. I want to see proper players playing in the proper positions and more first-team players. But I'd like to see those on the bench and then come on to get a game in their correct positions. Let me see the best of them.
Okay, cool.
And I can go on for an hour like you two.
Well played, sir.
Sing a song if you want.
Shut up, you tart. Chris... Josh Kakaluskas asks, West Brom on Monday, Bate on Thursday. Do we see Ozil on Monday or rest him for Thursday?
Monday, yeah. I think he plays Monday. I think you'll see two almost different sides next week. I think Bate, it's a long trip. Who have we got after that game? Who have we got? Have we got a game on the Sunday?
Yeah, I can't use my phone. I'm doing this off it. Sorry.
I'll look it up. But yeah, I think we'll see two different teams. I think West Brom on the Monday night, I think we'll probably see a full strength as you can get. Logically, we should as well. Sorry? Yes, yeah, we've got Brighton at 12 o'clock on October the 1st, the Sunday after. So, you know, you'd like to think it's a fairly comfortable looking fixture at home to go into it. So, yeah, I think Mesut will play on Monday to answer the question. And I think just to answer that previous question as well, I would be confident with this lineup at Bate Borisov because Bate are not very good. So, I think we'd be all right. At this stage of the Europa League, we should be looking to qualify as soon as possible. And then after that, where the Europa League is going to test us is when the Champions League kicks out in February, if we're still in it. That's when it will be the key. And Cologne proved that the other night. They were good for 30 minutes or so, and then they fell away badly. So I think we'll be all right in that competition. As long as we pick a decent enough experienced side, we'll be all right.
For granted, that's the most important thing.
Well, okay. You know.
Dan, Forza Football asks, is there a reason we're playing Alexis in the lesser games? He does comment, I don't know if that's the right word.
One word.
Or do you think it's just fitness?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, Chris, Peter Graham asks, Where do you see Malcolm from Bordeaux ending up?
Somewhere very... very good. Very good. Very good. Somewhere bigger than Bordeaux, sadly. He's a very, very talented young boy. Probably, if I had to put money on it, I think his game suits La Liga. I.e. he's quite good at tax dodging. I think he'll end up at a very big side. I don't think he suits the English league, but he's a very, very talented player. So if you haven't seen him, give him a watch. Very, very good.
Okay, Gazman. Chris.
Have you seen the question from Gazman for Chris?
That's where I'm going. Chris, Gazman Jones asks, where did you get your duvet from, please? Did he go into Debenhams and ask for something that looks like I've murdered a prostitute from the bottom of my bed?
Well, Gaz wouldn't know because Gaz is a man who doesn't have very much taste in life.
Hold up, yeah. Would Gaz not know about prostitutes or duvets?
Oh, no, Gaz would be very, very au fait with prostitutes.
He's a mate of John's.
The rumour has it he has to pay to get people to bring him coffee at work because he's that unpopular. He's full of it now, but just he wait until I start lumbering him with podcast to edit again. He'll soon go quiet. So, Gaz, it was where did I get this from? I think it was a duvet shop in town.
Okay, we don't care. Right, yeah, enough.
Beautiful.
Dan, Callum Rankin, I do apologise, Callum. He did ask this earlier on. It's slightly off topic, but do you think Diaby could have been the next Vieira if it wasn't for injuries?
No, just because he's big, black, and good.
Different type of player.
Completely different type of player. He is a slightly attack. You look at that. They always say that you look back at the game against Liverpool where he played almost in the number 10, sort of like a midfielder stroke going forward a little bit. Two goals, ran the game, absolutely amazing. He would have been. I'm trying to think of a player that that we've got at the club at the moment. That he would be like maybe a little bit like Santi, possibly. Whereas he's all over the place and good at passing the ball around and making good runs and scores the odd goal. I don't think we've really got anybody at the club because he can stick a foot in as well, couldn't he? He's a good tackler.
He's more of a Patino than Vieira.
To be fair, Faber nails on the head. No, he would have been the original and outstanding Diaby.
Yeah.
Has he got a new club since Marseille let him go?
No. He's just training. I think the inevitable will happen fairly soon.
I think he was on a TV show and they were showing him Arsenal fans talking about him and he started crying.
Absolutely ruined. All because of that fuckwit at Sunderland. What a player he would have been.
He's now playing in the Australian fifth division.
Oh, good luck to him. I hope he falls off a fucking cliff, Bellend.
Yeah. I think Diaby and Sonogo start in their own club. In Plymouth.
How's Sonogo doing it? Is he at Auxerre?
Toulouse. He's not exactly hot on the goal streak, but...
really?
Yeah, I know that's going to surprise many people.
He scores four goals every game, doesn't he?
He's at the right club for his level. I'll say that much. Nothing against Toulouse, but he's at the right club. And if I tell you Toulouse are 13th in Liga, that will sort of give you a good idea as to the sort of level he's playing at. But good luck to him. You know, it was a gamble when we signed him. He was 50 quid in a packet of pork scratchings, and you know his performances were quite similar, to be honest. But he's only made two starts for Toulouse this season, so he's only 24, believe it or not.
Well, I don't care. Richard Aina asks. Richard Aina asks if Wilshere gets back to full form and fitness.
If
should he start in the first 11 as part of a midfield two or a midfield three, dropping Ozil? I'm going to answer this actually, boys. Not a chance in hell.
Agreed.
Again, this sort of Wilshere worship. Yeah, this Wilshere worship. Well, I don't know if Richard's asking.
Oh, Rich. I mean the fanboy mentality.
Yeah. Of Jack Wilshere. So many people, he's the future of English football, etc., etc. The guy, first of all, is going to get games under his belt. When, you know, there's one great, truly great performance in an Arsenal shirt he's put out in his career with us, and that was against Barcelona, where he was out of this world. Undoubtedly talented footballer. Undoubtedly. But how many games has he controlled in his Arsenal career? and there's not, you know, there's one we everybody can name. You know, yes, he loves the club. Yes, he's passionate. Yes, he's got some fantastic skills. He's a wonderful footballer on his day. But, you know, I could see him as part of a three. But, you know, he's got to prove himself week in, week out now for the rest of the season. You know, there were no serious takers for him in the summer. And you can say, oh, that's just down to injury. But, you know, there are big clubs out there who've taken a chance on lesser talented players in the past than Jack Wilshere. So I think, you know, let's leave Jack, just get on with getting back to fitness and playing. We don't need to pressure any of these players at the moment. We are where we are. Let's look at the next game, 3 points, and so forth and so forth and so forth. Let's just, you know, let's just build the season as we go along, and hopefully we can do well. But, you know...
Answer this.
So, go on.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't really understand football, Danny, so that's all right.
No, I have no clue.
Dan, I'm going to stay with you. Should Wenger play Nelson at right wing over Theo? Seems like Wenger plays the young lads at a position to force them into the squad.
What do you mean? Did you mean right wing back? What did you mean tonight?
No, the question is, should Wenger play Nelson at right wing over Theo at any time?
Well, there's two things wrong with that. We don't play right wing, and if we did play right wing, Theo doesn't start. So if he meant tonight playing right wing back, that's how he did play. So maybe he means on the right behind the main striker. Yeah, where Theo played tonight. No. I think maybe he should come on and play sub games, because Theo earns too much money to not be playing in the League Cup, so it's never going to happen. And as Theo isn't going to start in the league in that position, unless everybody dies. So, no. But I would like to see them all given a go in their right positions.
This is a problem I have with the Theo business. Is last season, until we changed formation, I thought Theo played well.
Did?
I really do think he played well. You know, 19 goals. He got stuck in. You know, he bulked up. You know, God love him. You know, he hasn't developed as he should have, but, you know, we do give him a little bit of a hard time at times.
I think he might go in January.
I like him.
He likes you, Danny, but it doesn't mean he's any good.
Left as well.
He's not 140 grand a week, is he?
I think Theo is a player who will have a look at, particularly if England go to a World Cup. I think he'll have a look at it in January and think, actually, I need games. And I've got a sneaky suspicion he'll end up somewhere like Palace or West Ham.
Liverpool can have him for another 50 million.
Okay, that would be beautiful. Did you see Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Oh, I did. Did you see I got famous again, Jase?
No.
Don't mention that rag. Do not mention that rag.
That's exactly why I mentioned it, just to wind you up.
Don't.
No, it's hilarious. That pass that FK retweet.
For associating you with that rag.
It was the mirror last time.
Mr. V asks, when Alexis does leave, who should we bring in as his replacement? Now, bear with me a second. As the expert on world football, Danny, would you like to tell me who you think?
I don't know. It was going to be Draxler, wasn't it, from PSG? And no. Draxler plays in all those kind of positions along there. I love him. I love Draxler. And who was that other one? There was
Tom Lemar.
No, not him.
That's
Marco Royce.
Marco Royce, yeah.
Oh, God. Marco, I made out of splinters and glue, Royce. Yeah.
Olivier Carpenter. Give me a second.
I'm changing my mind.
Go on.
I want Nabil Fekir, the man who made Lacazette look brilliant.
Oh, leave him alone. Let him have a season where he's brilliant at the moment. Yeah,
Chris, I remember you telling me once, Royce to Real Madrid is done.
Oh, well, he
told me my pizza was done, I wouldn't believe it.
No, I thought I could see it. I could see him fitting there, but Royce is another player that you look at and you go, he's a wonderful footballer, but he can never stay fit. We got enough of those as it is.
I tell you what I'd bring in Gareth Bale. I could have Mr. Wankfest.
Should we get Joe Ledley in midfield as well, just to make it complete?
Hold up, you. Let's get something straight. Gareth Bale's still world class.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's denying it.
Real Madrid might disagree with you right now, but...
Let's put it like this, okay? After your views on Francis Coughlin and Lukaku, okay? I'm not taking any notice of you.
I'm willing to tip my hat to you and say that Francis is limited. Lukaku world-class. I've had shits more world-class than that bloke.
Still scoring goals. That's all smarter.
Yeah, good luck to him. Against Swansea and all the big clubs at Everton.
He from miles out the other day. I think it was 2 foot.
Bear me a second. Chris, last season we lost against Everton. We did. Fucking humped against Palace, okay?
But you can't put us in that bracket, Jace, because we're not very good.
I'm loving this. JH, let's get
Neville
all the
South Welsh, goal.
Let's get all the Welsh players, Jason. 7-3-2-9-5. Neville Southall in goal. Have you seen the size on Neville Southall?
He's a big old lad now, isn't he?
He could fit in the goal. He could fit, take up the whole goal.
Like David Seaman, eight David Seaman, isn't it?
He makes Danny look like anorexic.
Hey, I've had a banana all day. How dare you? I'm waiting you to end this shit so I can go and cook my fresh turkey.
You not reach the fridge?
Okay, no, guys. How long have we been going for anyway?
Too long.
About an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, right,
that's
hell.
It. That's it, guys. Final thoughts on tonight before we wrap it up. How do you feel Nelson played, Dan?
Very, very good, considering how when the Jeff has been called up to the first team, he has flattered to deceive. I think Reece Nelson and Maitland have both did brilliantly.
They were solid, weren't they? Chris De Silva and Wilshere, how do you feel they went?
Jack, good to get minutes under the belt, but as like you've said, I'm not convinced that he's going to be part of Arsenal's future at this stage. Hope so for him, but no. And Josh De Silva, big things expected of him. He's a player that Arsene Wenger's name-checked in person a few times and said that he's a player he thinks will have a very big future. So, yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of him. I hope he doesn't go all Glenn Kamara on us.
A young Lenny Henry.
Absolutely, right. Yeah.
Okay, that's that for tonight, guys. As usual, 117 people still watching. You guys are mad.
They got nothing better to do. Poor buggers.
They're probably just hanging there from their noose and they can't reach the computer to turn it off.
And we love you for it. Again, if you can give us a thumbs up, please, or a thumbs down, doesn't really matter. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you ever so much for your company tonight. I say we love you all every week, but, you know, you are just superb. You keep on supporting us, and we really do appreciate it.
And a little shout out to Junior Gunners member Dylan, who met Thierry Henry in the best video ever on the Arsenal official Twitter.
Oh, Josh Kakluskas is on vacation. Now, I bet he's somewhere down south where it's hot.
Knee deep in something like.
I tell you where I bet he is. I bet Josh is in Myrtle Beach. It's raining, no chicks anywhere.
Damn. Living the dream.
A bit like Plymouth.
Less said the better. It's absolutely chucking it down up here. Jesus.
Same in Cardiff. Guys, West London Goon. Ethan Ampadu made his Chelsea debut tonight, son of an under 18 coach.
He's on the bench.
Future Wales legend. That's all I've got to say. It's a shame he's with them, but who knows what happens. Thank you very much. Take care. Good night. That's been a Bergkamp on Land Radio. You've been brilliant. Take care. Good night. Switch it off, Dan.